The 2018 World Artificial Intelligence Conference has opened in Shanghai. The three-day event invites experts and scholars, as well as industry watchers around the world and from different industry sectors, to gather in Shanghai to discuss a wide range of topics such as reform, opening up, innovation, and development in respect of artificial intelligence. Well, this sounds like a cutting-edge, avant-garde, interesting conference that's being held in Shanghai. Lai Mei, what are some of the highlights that caught your eye about this conference?
I wouldn't call them highlights, but that event does have some themes, reportedly. So there's the reform, which covers how to seize China's deepening supply-side structural reform opportunities to enhance the important opportunities of the real economy and promote AI's empowering capability of industry cooperation, blah, blah, blah. And there's opening up, covering topics such as how to further open up the huge market of China's consumption upgrade, create rich application scenarios, and meet the people's increasing demand for higher living standards, blah, blah, blah. And then innovation, covering topics such as how to deepen cooperation between China and foreign nations, government enterprise collaboration, cooperation between academic institutions and enterprises, and all that sort of things. Anyway, I think all of this is just a fancy talk about an occasion where people just congregate and mingle and share brainstorming and ideas, for instance. And what's special about this event being held in Shanghai is that actually the city has in China has always been known as a mega city for finance, international trade or international finance. For Shanghai to start developing or looking into the artificial intelligence industry certainly is new, because if you compare Shanghai to, say, Beijing, Hangzhou, and Guangzhou, even Shenzhen, I think those other cities have much more competitive edge than Shanghai. So it's interesting for them to sort of put the focus on international cooperation and China and foreign nations, also government enterprise collaboration, that sort of things.
Yeah, it's really interesting that Shanghai, being one megacity in China, has sort of finally picked up this baton of AI, as in the last 5 years, I suppose. We've been bombarded with industry news about all kinds of discussion about how artificial intelligence can change our lives. And in the future, there are some skeptics feel that there might be imminent danger, as it's going to change the game completely for people. Well, some people, cynics. Cynics might have that worry, as well as Luddites or cave people, as I am a member of that clan, that you simply don't understand technology well enough to understand where this is taking us. So it's quite interesting that we see Shanghai's finally getting more involved with artificial intelligence and the development of that.
And actually, they've managed to pull some industry heavyweights to attend that event. Actually, we got BAT leaders like Jack Ma, Tencent's Pony Ma, and Baidu's Robin Li. There's also Xiaomi's head, like Lei Jun. Well, we know Xiaomi, based on his investment in Internet of Things and also in finance, we know they've got a team that's got some focus on strategy planning, that sort of thing. And also iFlytek, Ke Daxunfeng in Chinese, and its leader Liu Qiangfeng, I think. I can't tell the name. Anyway, it's an emerging company that's, well, it's been there for a while, but only in recent years we see that company pick up in profile, in the sense that voice recognition is becoming an integral part of artificial intelligence. It's one important input of information to the computer systems. And they are there. And then, well, we also have Raj Reddy and Pan Yunhe, who are members of the Chinese Academy of Engineers. And there's also a couple of people from the finance sector whose name I'm not quite familiar, but you can see how Shanghai is really pulling the heavy weight to try and make this thing a big deal out of it.
And it's becoming quite a high-level congregation of business heads and heads of major tech companies here in China. And Nilo, what do you think will come out of a conference as big as this?
To be honest, I really don't know, because when it comes to matters of technology and artificial intelligence, that's one area that I tend to avoid so much because it's so complicated. And every time I try to think that I'm beginning to understand it, it's very, very confusing. So that's why I'm not able to say much about this particular topic. All I know is what we know about how it's going to be helpful to the humankind. And, mm-hmm. and of course, there are people who are very skeptical about it. And that's the only time I can't be able to argue whether it's good or bad. But with regards to this particular conference, I really don't know.
Well, Neela, I think you're not alone in feeling rather fuzzy about all of this, because AI is something, two simple characters that everybody can repeat easily. And we see there are a lot of investment forums or these vehicles.
Yeah, I can only tell you about AI in terms of, you know, when I think about movies like iRobot, you know, that's my level. That's the highest level of understanding I do have about AI.
Oh, there's also Bicentennial Man and Minority Report, that sort of things. But anyway, if you look at the events on this 2018 World AI Conference, we might get some glimpse or get a glimpse into what's going on at events. We have seminars on industry standards. We have perhaps workshops on users' interface, Internet of Things, and smart city and finance and technology, that sort of thing. So yes, this is not purely an occasion for industry giants to come and greet each other, because let's face it, they probably already know each other. So there are things or real progress being made, possibly by sharing ideas on things that I've just mentioned, industry standards, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We know that artificial intelligence is a new thing, and every company is basically devoting their resources into pushing the technology ahead. But whether their efforts can be coordinated, can be shared, is a very important point. And therefore, the discussions on industry standards are very important here.
Yeah, and also I think it would be even more exciting and interesting if, let's say, the giants of Silicon Valley could be invited to attend a conference like this and to really make it a worldwide discussion. As we know, that European companies as well have been investing heavily into this area, because it seems like the major tech companies are seeing AI as a strong engine of future growth. And this is an area that is relatively new, but companies as well as countries mm-hmm. feel that it's better to get in the game earlier than later, because, well, we'll get into the because a bit later. So far, when you look at the products available in the Chinese market and possibly the things that are in the pipeline, what are the AI technologies that have already been applied that we're using already?
Well, I think the closest thing that comes into contact of ours, I believe, is the Siri on Apple phones or Amazon Echo, that voice assistants, that kind of service. And there's also the auto or self-driving cars that's being developed and possibly being experimented on in certain parts of the country and certain parts of the world. That's the next big thing in transportation and also in AI. And then the other thing that I can think of is perhaps some robots that's sent out there to greet people at important international conferences. For instance, I think earlier this year I went to Qingdao to cover the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit, and then at the press conference or at the press center, there was this little machine or little robot that moves around in the lobby, sort of greets everyone. That's the things that I can think of that is already being put into practice or perhaps still in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But as for the future, I can see how artificial intelligence can play a huge role in sort of helping people or liberating people from those repetitive and also routine jobs. And that's going to be emancipating, I think.
I think it would be a great, AI is great in many ways, such that, for example, for holiday lovers or people who like to go on vacation, I mean, if we have AI come into workplaces, of course, there are people out there who are saying, well, it's going to take away jobs and render a lot of people jobless. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I do think AI is going to come in, like you said, Liming, that it's going to do those repetitive jobs that humans don't really like doing. And in the end, it might lead to people working less hours, which means more holiday. And to be honest, I can't wait for that.
Something to look forward to, huh?
Oh, wouldn't it be great if half of your year is spent just laying on the beach?
Yeah, with the sunny beaches of the Maldives.
Tequila sunrise at one hand and maybe an interesting book on the other. And I should stop imagining such things. But certainly, I think you guys paint the bright side of things so well.
It's important to believe that, yeah, but we see so many movies that tell us, well, you should be scared of, you know, the robots when they go rogue. They're going to, you know, we are going to be...
take over.
Yeah, they're going to colonize Earth and humans, you know. But then you have to look on the brighter side. These are, I don't know, instruments or technology that's going to sort of like enhance our efficiency and throughput, which means boosting the economies and, you know, giving us more free time to be free and do whatever we've always wanted to do.
Yeah, making it easy to allocate resources. Imagine once automated cars or self-driving cars are deployed in the market, there's no need for every family to have one or two cars, because already you can just produce your smartphone, press some buttons, and the car will come to your door and pick you up. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be save the resources a lot.
And also, given all that free time that's made available, if the beautiful picture that you guys have just painted does pan out, I wonder if people can be more productive, or actually would people actually do harm to ourselves because of so much time at hand and possibly no greater goal in life, or maybe we'll turn into a scene as people dream and dance ourselves into oblivion.
Well, there's also the possibility that people get obsessed with video games and also virtual reality enhanced video games, if that makes it sound worse.
I'm sure it sounds great for some people and sounds a bit worse for others. But certainly one thing that I've learned about AI that terrifies me a little bit, but considering I am one of those extreme conservatives when it comes to such an issue, is that AI has the ability to learn so quickly. Although, like, currently I think one comforting point we can still stick to is that it can only learn at such a tremendous speed in one subject or one domain. Mm-hmm. So if it learns to play Go so well, like AlphaGo, but it can't play chess without the the programmers, the technicians, or the capable minds switching the game plan for it.
Well, I'm assuming you're referring to machine learning and neural technology, neural network. But I think of those things as the foundation or the basis of artificial intelligence, but it's not artificial intelligence per se. I mean, neural network or machine learning, those are technologies designed to broaden the means of input for computers, because nowadays when we talk about computers, the only way to input information into the system is sort of, for instance, when we type things into the system, or when an IT engineer is writing codes. Neural technology, it really is trying to sort of boosted the capability of computers to receive more information, either from voice recognition or from graphic recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see how AI with more information is going to change our life dramatically, especially when it doesn't have the authority or doesn't have the autonomy to make independent decisions. Because let's face it, we're still probably hundreds of years ago, before probably hundreds of years before machines can develop is self-awareness, sentient machines.
Which is even more scarier.
Yeah, only that point. By that point, I would admit that we have a problem. Before that, because I've been experimenting, a little geeky to say, I've been experimenting with a little coding and myself recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that computers can only, do a range of things that you have planned for. And unless machines can do things that humans haven't planned for, then we are not at risk of being annihilated by machines.
And also, we do have buttons. I mean, they are controlled by humans now, right? You just switch it off.
Unless it's got an independent battery.
Like your smartphone.
Yeah, that's perfect. Just switch it off, you know?
Yeah. What scares me the most right now is the fact that, I don't know if you guys have noticed, when you are talking or having a conversation about something, let's say you're talking about traveling to go to Hainan,
uh-huh.
All of a sudden, all your computers, all your phone, all the adverts seem to just give you all these, a lot of advertisements about going to Hainan. And that, to me, is very scary because it means no more privacy. Goodbye.
The computer is not scary. People who designed the technology that sort of eavesdrops on you and also sort of push you information on like trips to Hainan, the people behind the computer system is what's scaring you.
And the masterminds that are controlling and creating the machine and the robots, if they become a social class, mm-hmm. which I'm sure they will, then in a way, maybe it is going to create a completely different classification of people in society when it's not just the rich and poor, but it's more of those who manage to control the machines and therefore earn big bucks in the future, mm-hmm. and the masses that have not been equipped with this kind of education and knowledge to be colonized in a way. And that is such a bleak picture that I have just conjured up.
Very interesting. But even for that argument, I have a counter argument, because in recent decades, the big topic is globalization. And a lot of people are protesting that actually the benefits of globalization hasn't been distributed evenly. But even so, the process of globalization has brought tremendous benefits to the world as a whole. We see developing countries, we see emerging markets, we see people have their lives changed dramatically for the better now that globalization has set in place. Likewise, I think artificial intelligence is going to chiefly liberate a lot of manpower from routine and repetitive jobs.
That can be seen on both sides of the coin, so to speak. Mm-hmm. There is, on the one hand, liberation, also meaning unemployment. So would it be, do you see the applications of artificial intelligence in the future to be maybe employment or, you know, maybe freedom from the work and boredom? How do you look at this?
Personally, I view it as, look at it the way we look at computers and phones, the way they have changed the way we do things. Basically, there might be issues of unemployment, but I don't think that's going to be a dire situation. I just do think that machines will be able to, you know, help us work better, more efficient. For example, when it comes to solving, you know, complex issues that the human brain cannot really handle, but a machine can actually look at you know, the complicated situation and try to come up with a almost perfect certain solution in much less time compared to what humans can do. And I think that it's basically just going to, you know, improve our efficiency.
And also, I'm not afraid of questions that humans already have found answer to. For instance, the question you answered about how the artificial intelligence is going to create a new hierarchy who has control over those machines, smart machines. But isn't it the same thing with industrial revolution? Didn't the improvements in productivity created a class and also alienated a few? But isn't that the reason behind policies, for instance, like welfare state and social welfare systems? And I have faith in human intelligence that perhaps in the future, when we have another distribution of wealth problem, we'll find a way sort of to make the wealth distributed more evenly. But I am afraid questions about whose answers that humans still don't have answer to, because already we are facing ethical problems or conundrums, such as, say, an autonomous car or self-driving car is driving on the road and all of a sudden there's an accident. If the car wheels left, it kills one people. If it wheels right, it kills 100 people. Who are we to make that decision? Are we willing to sort of entrust the decision power to the machine, to the artificial intelligence? I mean, let's face it, that kind of problem is already difficult for human beings. How can we sort of solve that problem when we introduce artificial intelligence?
That is a really good question. I think certainly with artificial intelligence, if it is in the future going to be widely employed, then certainly it's going to change so many rules of the game and raise a whole wide array of new ethical issues. And here, I think there's also another aspect of things which is quite interesting, that if we're so heavily dependent on AI to make judgment, then, well, the basis of it is that this machine needs to have tons and tons and oceans of data for it to make a more thorough or possibly concrete decision. And right, in the process of that, there could be this perpetuation of so-called bias, because the stats that's being entered is biased.
Right. I mean, I think it's one thing to, you know, to use machine learning and AI to predict and perhaps even solve problems. But it's also quite another, you know, to use these systems to purposely control and act in ways that will make people unnecessary. So I think that while machine intelligence exceeds our ability to understand it, or it becomes even superior intelligence, we should always, as humans, take care not to blindly follow its recommendations, and that way I think it will be safe. We just need to make sure that it's more of a complement rather than something that, you know, it is trying to make humans obsolete.
So humans still have making biased decisions for millennials. I don't see it getting any worse.
So that's what I'm saying, it should be complementary.
Yeah, true.
And you're listening to Roundtable. Coming up, more interesting discussion. Don't go away.